Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jason, and I'm blessed to be back here with you. I want to talk to you today about something that I've been really rolling around in my mind. It's that time of year again. Easter is past, and we're going into a time of, for most of our churches, and we've seen an increase in people, and hopefully you've had some that's made new decisions for the Lord, and just kind of thinking about some things, and ministry's really ramping up for this time between Mother's Day and Easter. We know is a big ramp up time for ministry, but also talking to some people about some things, and then last night kind of confirmed what I've been wanting to share, and at the end of service, there's a little boy that came up to the front of the church, and having said that, when he came up to the front of the church, he looked at me, and his mom said he wanted to pray with me, and we had just prayed for her, and she gave her life back to the Lord, and it was a glorious time after all the church had ended, and it was way after service, and her son came up, and the mom said, he wants you to pray for him, and he said he doesn't know what his purpose is, and so I kneeled down on my knee and started talking to him, and she said, yeah, he just doesn't know what his purpose is, and so I, after talking to him a little bit and asking him what he meant and asked him if he understood what sin was, and then we led him through a little prayer repentance. And, you know, I don't know if he totally understood it or not. He was 8 years old, but he sure seemed to respond and understand. And he said, you know, when I do wrong things, he said, I feel bad and I don't know what to do. So I said, well, we need to go to the one that can help you. But after that, I thought he's typical, like a lot of adults that make decision to follow Jesus. And it's typical, you know, there's one thing, we just need to rest in salvation. And, you know, we need to, you know, bask in his presence. And, you know, we really need to be able to learn to worship and just sit at his feet. But having said that, there's more to the kingdom of God than especially just a prayer, and more to the kingdom of God that I think a lot of us, it will plague on us like this little boy, you know, what is my purpose and what does God have for me? And of course, I talked to him about the greatest commandments was to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And it may have been a lot for his 8-year-old little mind to take in. But as I told his mama that was standing there, I said, now it's your job to help equip him and to teach him and to show him to pray and to read his word and to do those things. But it's going to be a lifelong thing. This is not something that just begins this relationship with God and then it ends with a prayer. Just one thing. Sure, we're justified. We're saved. We're born again. If we believe and we confess him as Lord, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. But there's a lot of living between there and heaven, and that's what I want to focus my time on. I want to talk about this being a call to all, a call to all, because really there is a universal principle that's in the kingdom of God. I had not really heard it talked about a lot or put the way that I believe that God had given it to me and seen it. We use this in a lot of our material of new Christians. We call it growth track. Some of you might call it new converts class. But there's more than just a list of rules and things we need to do and not to do. We know that if we've walked with God any time at all. So what is it? And I look at the scripture in Ephesians, and Ephesians talking, we all know that Ephesians chapter 4 is one area. Verse 11 through 12 is one area we talk about spiritual gifting. There's also in Romans and other places in scripture that we look in spiritual gifting, but we look at Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what it says. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, and to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there is a call to all in that. First of all, there's a call to apostles, that's church planters, prophets, and also then evangelists and pastors and teachers. I think most of us in the line of ministry will fall somewhere between evangelists, pastors, and ministries. And also there's apostles, but most people I know, that's where they fall into. Teachers is a broad term. It can mean a teacher from this same 8-year-old little boy. Our children's church pastor was there to lead him in that prayer as we stood around the altar. But as we look into this, most people fall into that place, whether it be a small group leader or whether it be a teacher of even your kids in the home. And really, so this is the call to them. And what's their job? You know, a lot of people think, you know, there's a lot of opinions about a pastor, what his job is to do, but it says right here, the evangelist, pastors, and teachers' job is to equip his people for the works of service. Never get that confused in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying pastors don't need to do a lot of things, because there is a job of a pastor to do everything. Paul said, I become all things to all men that may gain some. But in the bottom of this, if you're a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, or prophet, apostle, it says that your job is to equip his people for works of service. And I think sometimes we get sidetracked from that. But the truth is, we have to equip them for the works of service. So on the other side of that, if you're a new Christian and you're just coming in the body of Christ, you need to be asking yourself, am I being equipped for works of service? Because I think sometimes people come to church and they, and I'm not saying it's all their fault. They just don't know, but they think the church is kind of there to entertain them and, you know, put them on these spiritual bicycles and watch them go round and round and round. But the truth is, it's never meant to be that. It's that they are to be equipped for works of service. That's serving. I mean, that's callous on your hands work stuff, man. And so so that the body of Christ may be built up. So everything that any new person coming to Christ or any old person that's came to Christ needs to remember is our job is works of service that the body of Christ may be built up. And what's that going to look like for me? And what's it going to look like until we all reach the unity of faith? Remember what the scripture says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. And I think sometimes we get this backwards. You know, I've heard people, they believe that my job is to help them fulfill their call with God. Now, there's some truth to that, but I can't put the shoe leather to what the people of God need to do. I can only make a way. And so to equip them for works of service. So I try to make a way by educating. I try to make a way through our Sunday services, our Wednesday services, our small groups, but also our small group leaders. Their job is to equip their people for works of service. Our youth leaders. I was talking to our youth pastor and several leaders last night, and then I put this scripture down, and your job is to equip the people for the works of service. Equip the kid for works of service. In our children's church area, we have an area that those kids are beginning to serve, and they're going to greet as they come upstairs. Our children's area is upstairs. We have a beautiful children's area upstairs, and their job is to greet those new kids that are coming in. I was so blessed when our children's church pastor told us that they were going to do that. She told me that. So as I look into this the same way, so in our youth, they're beginning to serve. They set up our tables for our funerals, and they tear down our tables for our funerals. They're already in service. This is what we're equipping them to do. And that's just hard work, sweat, and callous kind of stuff. But also works of service, not just that kind of work, but so the body of Christ may be built up. That person that set up those tables, those youth may not think much, but when someone passed away and we were feeding 75 people at the funeral last week, those people were blessed by that meal that people had prepared for that family. And I guess got raving reviews about how they felt so loved in their time of need. That is bringing people to reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for a friend. No greater love to have any man than he laid down his life for his friend. And sometimes I'm afraid this happens is people come into the church and every church around. And even me, when I was new in my faith, I thought I was just supposed to take it in and take it in and take it in. But there's a time when we take it in, but then we begin to give out and to where we bring people into the knowledge of the Son of God through his word, and you mature them and you talk to them and what does it say? To attaining the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. Well, I don't think we're ever going to see the whole measure, but it's an area to shoot for. You're not going to hit the target every time, but you're going to shoot for the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What's that mean? What are we as the church? We're the body. Some's the finger, some's the thumb, some's the toe. We're becoming the body. And in unity, we got to do our part in the body. But as pastors and teachers, we're to equip the people for works of service. We can't do the work for them. All we can do is make the path clear. And on our church, we have a thing called Next Steps. So every church has them. They may not even call it that, but everybody has a next step. They should know where to go when they get right with God, or if they already have been right with God, what do they need to do? You know, they need to, for us, a lot of information's on our app. We get the information, the events. We talk about baptism. We have a growth track for new converts. We have small groups for people to build community. We believe that spiritual growth happens in context of small groups. And I say that, I stress that. I don't know what your small group may be. It may be a Sunday school class. It may be a discipleship class. All those things are smaller groups, people teaching you to grow and equipping you for works of service. Your Sunday school class or small group, it might not be you know, you plow through the Bible every day, but there should be something happening in that group that you're beginning knowledge of the Son, and that it's building you up. And it might be 10 minutes of the scripture reading or prayer, whatever it is that you do, you know, make sure you have those people around you, but we make that pathway clear. So small groups, growth tracks, some of you might call it new converts class, whatever it is, next steps class. I've heard it called a lot of different things, you know, but that's something that you do. And why? Why is all this? Why is this so important? You know, this is just spiritual gifting stuff or just the body. Well, I look at that. And then Second Peter, here's what the scripture says in Second Peter. And it says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, strive to make your calling and your election sure, for if you practice these things, you will never stumble." Now, that's a strong, strong, strong statement. One scripture in the King James Version, I believe this is NIV, the King James Version says, "You will never fall." So, "Therefore, brothers, strive to make your calling and election sure. If you practice these things, you will never stumble. And you receive a lavish reception in the eternal kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, "You will never stumble." How many of us have seen, you know, the mighty, mighty men and women of God that have stumbled and that have fallen and, you know, that have, I mean, we've seen them on headlines of the news, and it's pretty depressing. There's Netflix series made on these preachers and these people that their churches, they fell and made mistakes. But it says this: strive to make your calling and election sure. What is your calling? Well, I would say it's a pretty good idea. First of all, in Second Peter, when he's talking about this, he's saying, make every effort to add your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities, continue to grow in them, they'll keep you from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever lacks these traits is nearsighted, the point of blindness, having forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. So there's this striving to make our calling and our election sure, and also add to our faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and you add to these things. I've done a podcast in the past on this about spiritual growth, and I kind of break this part of the scripture down, so I'm not going to go into all of that, what that means. These are actually, I believe, areas of spiritual growth, each one of them that we cross through and that we should be striving for. But when we look at it also in light of Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12 that I read earlier, that the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers are to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. That is a calling. That is a job. It's the J-O-B. I know it's not always fun. I know it's not always easy, but it doesn't. God never said it was going to be easy, and he never said it'd all be fun. But I'll promise you, if you want to never stumble, it says make your calling and election sure. Well, what's your election? Your election's your salvation. You know, I believe we need to really grind that out. Are we saved? Do we see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But do we understand to be justified by faith? I've been teaching it out of the book of Romans, what it means to be justified by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so study that and look at that. Are we really born again? You know, just because you're in your church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just like if you're in a garage, it don't make you a car. But make sure you're saved. And how do we know we're saved? We know we're saved because we believe in death, burial, resurrection. We've repented of our sin to the best of our ability, and we've entered into this time of sanctification. Not that we're going to justify ourselves by good behavior, but we're justified because of what Jesus did on the cross. The cross is the power of God unto salvation, the scripture says. But once you've made sure you're saved, what else does it say? Make your calling. And I'm telling you, it's sometimes we aim at nothing, someone said, and you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You'll get nothing. But I think when we're aiming this arrow, we're aiming in our Christian life, this little boy that's 8 years old, he said, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I think there's a lot of adults out there in the church world, they don't know what their purpose is. Man, I'm telling you, and sometimes we're like, we look at the preacher on stage and we look at the worship leader on stage and we think, well, they know what their purpose is. Well, that's a very small part of ministry in any pastor's or singer's life. If a pastor thinks his job is to get up and preach on Sunday morning, most pastors will tell you they don't, you know, if they do get paid, by the way, a lot of them don't get paid. And if they do get paid, most of them get paid very little, to be honest with you, in small churches. They'll tell you they don't get paid to preach. They get paid to do all the stuff they don't like to do. They like to preach. But if preaching is 30 minutes in their week or an hour of their week that they get to be able to preach, but there's a whole lot of living between, you know, Monday to Sunday. And what is their job? Their job is to equip the people for the works of service of the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith. Well, what's the job of the people who are listening to the preacher? That you have works of service of the body of Christ may be built up until it reach the unity of faith. Why do that? Why do that? Because you strive to make your calling and election sure. If you practice these things, you'll never stumble. You'll never fall. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall. I don't want to stumble. I want to make my calling. I want to make my election sure. But it's more than the singer and the pastor. It's the teachers, and it's the small group leaders, and it's the greeters, and it's the people, the ushers that take up the offering, if you will. And I don't know what areas your church has. There's, you know, we've had four people in the last, boy, I've been so blessed. Someone said, you know what, you know, been having fun. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've been having a blast. Well, I know four people that have prayed people for the first time salvation. They'd never led anyone to the Lord. Some of these people are 40 years old plus, and some of them are just 25 years old, and they've led someone to Christ. And being able to see that's been the greatest blessing for me, seeing to be able to see them come into works of service, to be able to pray someone through that's never received Christ before. They've never been a part of that. And boy, that just gives me joy in my heart and just makes me just about explode and want to shout around this room. I'm telling you what, that blesses me. That people are doing works of service in the body and ministering to people. And that little 8-year-old boy, when our children's pastor, she leaned over and prayed with him, and he made things right with God. That blessed me because that's works of service, serving the body of Christ, seeing that mama there with her tears. And I don't know what your church is like or what you do, but find a place to serve. I don't know if it's smiling in the parking lot and waving people on, or if it's just being there for your pastor or them leaders. And man, I'm telling you what, I had a gum ministry. I know everybody thinks this is funny, but I've told our church this many times. I didn't do much maybe when I first started, but I knew that the pastor, whenever he got done preaching, he always liked to stick a gum. So I always made sure I had gum. If I didn't have it, my wife had it. I'd go up there and I'd place that gum on his pulpit every single Sunday. Didn't seem like much to anyone else, but he appreciated it because when anyone knew he wanted to get me down there, we had an invitation as well. And he would get down there in their face and he'd want to make sure his breath smelled good. Boy, I'll tell you, I had the gum ministry, I told someone. And I started giving my testimony and sharing in the youth groups and doing things. And I'll never forget, there's one time that the church, the sewer had backed up. We had a lift in the church, and it was on a Friday night or Saturday night. I don't remember. It's coming up on a weekend, and I'll never forget. I knew a guy that had opened a septic service, and that thing was plugged up, and it was starting to back up. And you can imagine, I don't want to gross you out, but what was happening, I called that old boy, and he come down there, and the sun was going down. The preacher and his wife pulled in and thanked me for doing that. I want to tell you something. That blessed me because that works of service. And people say, well, I don't know. I'm not happy. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, get out there and get you a sump and start sucking sewage out. I don't know what your calling is, and I know I may be meddling, but the point is this. I've always found joy in serving the body of Christ. I didn't have to just find joy. I mean, I love going on vacation. I love to have fun, but I've found joy in serving the people of Christ. That's what my job is. Why? Because I know my job is to have works of service of the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And by the way, I'm helping mature people. And many times when I'm working at the church, I'm talking to people and having spiritual conversations. Why am I having them? So people can attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our small group the other day, we have a little small group and we go down to the gym. It's not real spiritual for the first 50 minutes or an hour because I don't like to talk a lot about spiritual stuff when I'm working out, and we do it twice a week. Matter of fact, I have it tonight. It's Thursday night, and we got done and we got on the treadmill and we do this weight circuit training thing, and you do the steps up on the box at Planet Fitness, and then you do the lifting, and then you do the step up on the box. And so you do that workout and then you get on a treadmill. But when we're done, we sit around and we share a scripture. And our church, we call it ESPN. We're to encourage someone in a small group. We're to share a scripture with someone. We're to pray. And we're also to consider who there needs a next step with Christ. What maybe do they need to be born again? Do they need to be baptized? They need to get in a small group. They need to go through our growth track. What do they need to do? We need to be considering that. And we sit around there in these couches at Planet Fitness, and the person that leads that always shares a devotion, and he reads it. His name's Jason too, and he reads a devotion. And this last Tuesday, I was sitting there and I started sharing about grace and talking about what God had showed me. And man, we just had church right there in that little place. It sounds silly maybe to some people, but why do we do that? Because I know my job is to equip the people for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. What's another good reason to continue doing this? Therefore, brothers, strive to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a lavish reception in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what greater calling there could be than working in the kingdom of God. I don't know what greater joy there could be than bringing people into the full knowledge and becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I know sometimes there's no bells and whistles, there's no pay for most of us, or many of you. I do get compensated, but I'll tell you, there's not much pay for years. I did it for absolutely zero, but I had such joy in doing it. Matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you. The older I get, the harder I do find and join anything else in helping build up the body of Christ, that they may be built up until they reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Our job, brothers and sisters, is to come into the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Not babies, not just on milk, but also the meat of the Word, another place in Scripture shares. So my encouragement to you, this is a call to all. A call to all is to ask yourself, am I being prepared for works of service? Am I doing my part in the body of Christ that it may be built up until I can help people reach the unity? Have I really been discouraged? And actually, some of you may even fallen because you don't even know what your calling is. Brothers and sisters, there's a calling for everyone out there. I promise you, there's a calling for everyone. I've seen people in our church that was been in church 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden they start a little small group, or they start a little funeral ministry, or they start a little kids ministry, and some little something that they do, it don't sound like much, or maybe they even become being usher. And old boy told me the day, you don't know what joy it is to be able to take up the collection of the saints. And boy, it blessed me. Just serving in the body of Christ, he said, I feel like I found my purpose. That's a call to all. We're to find our purpose. Talk to your pastor, talk to your leaders, talk to your friends, put some people around you and say, I really want to know what this is like for my works of service. What's God called me to do? And friends, I hope this has blessed you. Leaders, if you are a pastor, if you are a teacher, if you are evangelist, a prophet, or an apostle, I pray that you'll remember your job is to equip the people for the works of service. And just like that little 8-year-old boy, you'll understand what you're here for. And now our job is to take that little 8-year-old little boy that we prayed with last night and say, you know what, son, let's help you learn what your job is in the kingdom of God, because I promise you one day he's going to be a mighty warrior. If we do our job and we stay focused on what our calling is to do, it's not to make spiritual bicycles or just to be able to do one thing at all, but our job is to create and equip people for the works of service. God bless you, friends. If you have anything that you want me to share about, then send me a message. Most of you know how to contact me. There's a place for my email where you're getting this, or you can also message if you find this on Facebook. And so God bless you. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful time. Enjoy this time of spring that's coming up. And until next time, God bless.